All right, guys. Well, I've got some good news for you today. How many here can stand some good news?
Amen.
All right. This message is called, You Are the Apple of God's Eye. You are the apple of God's eye. Friend, you may have come here down and depressed today. Maybe you don't feel good about yourself here today. And maybe you're downright just about to have a pity party. And maybe as a child, somebody, a loved one, talked you down. Maybe they demeaned you. Maybe they said you were an accident going somewhere to happen. Maybe they said you would never amount to anything. And so they made you feel about this big. Well, Jesus said that the devil is the author of lies in John 8:44. And if those people said those words to you, they were being inspired of the enemy. You know what, friend? Maybe it was an adult relationship that really harmed you. Maybe a marriage. Maybe a friend. And maybe this person abused you emotionally, maybe they abused you verbally, and they made you feel really small. And I'm here to tell you today, as I said, that you are the apple of God's eye. And the psalmist writes in Psalm 17:8, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. What does apple indicate? The apple of God's eye. Apple indicates that you are important. It indicates importance. That you are very close to the heart of God. That God is overprotective of you. He loves you so very much. Friend, I'm here to tell you today that you are worth more than all the gold, the diamond, and the silver in this world combined to God. You are valuable to Him. More than all the rubies in this world. You are of more worth than that to God, the creator of heaven and earth. Do you agree with that today?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people in the world, non-believers, non-Christians, they equate money and influence with value. And I've heard it said before, and you may have heard it said before, that this person is worth $1 billion, or this person is worth $1 million, or she's worth $500,000. You can't put a price tag to somebody's worth. You know, some people will say, well, this guy is the president of this nation, so he is worth so much. Guess what, friend? In the eyes of God, you are worth just as much as the richest person in this world. In the eyes of Almighty God, you are worth just as much to God as the most influential person, the president of a nation. See, the Word of God says in Acts 10:34 that God is no respecter of persons. God does not show favoritism. I got some news for you today. Every single person in this room is a VIP to God. You are a very important person. Don't let anyone or anything tell you differently. You are very special, very valuable. You are a diamond to God. You are the apple of His eye. And for the next few minutes, I want to talk about some of the biblical reasons as to why you're so valuable to God. Why are you so valuable to God? Why are you worth so much to the Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, Yahweh? The first reason, Genesis 1, verse 27. Remember when God created man, and this is what He said. Well, this is what the Word says here. In Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. So the Word of God is telling us that both male and female are created in the image and the likeness of God. Do you know what that means to be created in the image of God? It means that part of God is on the inside of you and me. We are sons and daughters of the living God. In a spiritual sense, you are flesh of God's flesh and bone of His bone. Now, how many here have a loved one, a son, a daughter, a niece, a nephew, a mom, a dad, a grandparent that you really love? Let's put together a hypothetical scenario here. Say that you've got this loved one, and let's say you're penniless at the moment. You've got no money to your name. And this loved one of yours is needing food. Right? And so you find out from this loved one that somebody with bags of groceries was passing by this loved one day and didn't even stop to give that person any food. That would break your heart, right? You know, when we pass by one of God's loved ones, it breaks the heart of God. Let's say that person with the groceries did stop and fed your loved one. That would just overjoy your heart, right? Why? Because that person, that loved one, that son, that daughter, that niece, that grandparent is flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone. Your blood runs through them. Their blood runs through you, right? Is that making sense? And as I said, in a figurative sense, every single person on the face of this earth, every person in this room today is flesh of God's flesh and bone of His bone. When we volunteers come here the third Sunday of every month, we're reaching out to you. Guess what? We're reaching out to God. When we touch you, we are touching the heart of God. And friend, I've got some other news for you. That when you reach out to somebody less fortunate than yourself, you are reaching out to God. You know, there is somebody out there in greater need than you today. There's somebody there tonight that is going to sleep under a bridge. That is going to sleep on a street corner of downtown Tulsa. And if you touch that person with the love of God, you are touching God Himself. Because that person, as yourself, is the apple of God's eye. You agree with that today? So we're all created in the image of God. Part of God is on the inside of every part of us now. Another reason as to why you have such great worth. Another reason. Anybody here want to take a guess? As to why you are so valuable.
Because He loves every one of us equally.
Okay. Okay, good. Anybody else? Okay, we're in His image. The second reason as to why you are so valuable, so important, the reason as to why you are a VIP to God, a very important person. Good, is because each of you has a special function in the body of Christ. I want to tell you here today that none of us here today are a spare tire in God's kingdom. You know, when you think of a spare tire, you think of a tire that just kind of sits in the back of an automobile. The four tires are the important ones because they carry the car. But I'm here to tell you today, you are not a spare tire in this automobile called the kingdom of God. You are very important in the body of Christ. Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 likens us to a human body. It says, you know, the eye can't say to the ear, I don't need you. The ear can't say to the eye, I don't need you. You know, really, the hand can't say to the arm, I don't need you. And the arm can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Every part of the body needs each other. And he likens us human beings to a human body here in 1 Corinthians 12. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12 if you have a Bible, and we will read from verse 26. 1 Corinthians 12, 26. It says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. How many here are believers in Jesus Christ? Raise your hand if you are. Guess what? You are part of the body of Christ and you have an important function to play. Very important. You know, you may be the eyes in the body of Christ. Maybe God has given you a prophetic gift to see ahead into the future. Maybe for a friend's life. God is telling you, tell this friend to go this path. Otherwise, if he keeps going that wrong path, he will lose his life. And maybe God is giving you that prophetic gift. Maybe you're the eyes in the body of Christ. And guess what? If you're not doing your part as the eye, that person could lose his life eternally. Somebody will suffer. Friend, you may be the big toes in the body of Christ. What do the big toes do on the human body? That's right, balance. Imagine both your big toes cut off. Imagine both your big toes cut off. It would be kind of hard to balance your physical body, right? Friend, you may be the big toe in the body of Christ. You may be behind the scenes. You may be unseen, but guess what? You are still so vital to the body of Christ. What could a big toe do? A big toe can bring balance to rocky situations. Peace to certain situations that are full of turmoil. Amen? You may be that big toe in the body of Christ, bringing peace to rocky situations. It's okay, let's just concentrate on the Word of God. All right? And maybe God has called you to be a peacemaker. And as a peacemaker, you're that big toe in the body. You're not seeing, you know, that my shoe is covering my big toe, right? Your shoes are covering your big toes. It's unseen, but it's important. It brings balance. You may be the mouth in the body of Christ. You may be the mouth in the body of Christ. What does the mouth do? It speaks. It proclaims. It preaches. Maybe God is calling you to reach a certain group of people. Maybe it's a gang. You know, maybe it's a certain group of people here in Tulsa. Maybe it's a group of teenagers. Maybe it's a group of people in another city. Maybe it's a group of people in another state or another country. And God may be calling you as a mouth to proclaim His good news to that group of people. Guess what? If you don't proclaim the good news to that group of people, they could be lost eternally without you. People who should be saved could be lost. I'm here to tell you today, do your part, because you have got a very important function in the body of Christ, every single one of you. You may be the hands in the body of Christ. What do the hands do? Okay, good. They help pick up. They help put out. You know, you may be called the hands to help put out the chairs before a service. You may be the hands called to pick up the chairs after a service. You may be the hands called to help serve the food here at the day center or prepare food. You know, without you doing your part, the people that should have a seat to sit down in may not have a seat. The people who should eat may not be able to eat if you, as the hands, are not doing your part. Friend, you need to sit before God and say, God, I love you. God, tell me what my purpose, my part in the body of Christ is in your kingdom. God, what am I called to do? Friend, I guarantee that every single person sitting in this room today has a part in the kingdom of God. Are you the fingers? Are you the mouth? Are you the eyes? Are you the feet? You are some part of the body. And because of that, you are so valuable. We cannot do without you. You're worth so much. Another reason, last and most important, as to why you're so precious, so valuable, is what? Think about it for a second. What is another reason as to why you are so precious, so valuable, so important?
Jesus died.
Good deal. Anybody else? Anybody else? Say it again. Because He loves us. All right. Because of the price that was paid for us. Now, how is the... Let's say somebody goes out and buys a house for $100,000. How is the value of that house determined? You say a friend of yours goes out, or somebody you know goes out and buys a house here in Tulsa for $150,000. How is the value of that house determined? The price that was paid for it, the $150,000. Say somebody goes out and buys their girlfriend a diamond ring. You know, let's say for $1,000. What is the value of that ring? Right. How is the value of that ring determined?
By the number of people that want it.
By the price that was paid for the ring, right? Well, let me ask you and make the comparison here today. How is our value determined in God's eyes? By the price that was paid for us. What price was paid for you and for me? The blood. The blood of Jesus Christ shed on that cross. Let's turn to 1 Peter 1:18. 1 Peter 1:18. If you have a Bible. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish or defect. The blood of Jesus Christ is of priceless worth. The blood of Christ, its worth is out of this world. Why? Why did it take blood whose value is out of this world to pay for us? Because our value is out of this world. It's priceless in the eyes of God. Does that make sense? It's a priceless blood to redeem us who are of priceless worth. What does it mean to redeem? To buy back out of. At one time, we were slaves to the kingdom of darkness, to the enemy's kingdom. But God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, and His shed blood on the cross, bought us out of the kingdom of darkness with that shed blood. Is that making sense? It took priceless blood, invaluable blood, to redeem us who are of invaluable worth. So let me say it again. How is your value determined? By the what? By the what paid for you?
Price.
And what price was paid for you?
Blood.
The blood of Jesus Christ. Blood of priceless worth. And friend, I'm here to tell you today that you have got to start seeing yourself as God sees you. What does it say in Proverbs 23:7? It says, as a man thinks within his heart, so is he. As you think about yourself will be the way you act towards yourself. If you see yourself as down and so low that you can do a push-up under a penny, guess what? You'll always be in the same spot in life. But if you start seeing yourself as God sees you, as valuable, because you're created in His image, because you got a special part in the body, because the blood of Jesus was paid for you, if you start seeing yourself as God sees you, valuable, worth so much, you'll start walking with God, and then you'll start running with God, and then you'll start soaring like an eagle with God in the heights. He's got something for you to do, but you've got to see yourself as God sees you, as a diamond that's having a special part in this world. Is that making sense? You know, God sees you as a conqueror in Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's say it together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You are more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. You don't have to be in the same place. You know what? A lot of people have set points in their minds. The mind is the enemy's battlefield. He tries to defeat us in the mind. He tries to tell us this is the only place you're going to in life. Somebody told you when you were young that you're an accident going somewhere to happen. He tries to defeat us in the mind. And you tell him, you know what, Satan? You are a liar. The Word of God says that condemnation comes from you. But love is of God. God values me. I can do all things through Jesus Christ. Whenever he tries to throw those thoughts at you, what do? You quote the Word of God to him. Amen? And when you quote the Word of God, he will have to flee. In order to quote the Word of God, though, you've got to have the Word of God where? Stored up on the inside of you. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you need the Word at your fingertips, you better have it in your heart. And the way you get it in your heart is by doing what?
Study.
By reading it, by meditating on it, by studying it. Not just once a month or once every 6 months. But you've got to read and study the Word of God. You've got to meditate upon it daily, consistently. That's the way you renew your mind. That's the way you defeat the enemy who is having a battle in your mind. Is that making sense? Start seeing yourself as God sees you. You may have heard me ask this before, but it's worth repeating. Where is the wealthiest place in the world? If you know the answer, don't say it. Don't say it if you know the answer. If you heard me say this before, don't say it. But if you don't, try to take a guess. Where is the wealthiest place
Vatican.
In this world?
Vatican.
All right. The Vatican. That's a good answer. Anybody else?
Heaven.
Heaven. Okay, that's good. Anybody else? The wealthiest place in this world. Say what?
Your heart.
Okay, that's good. Anybody else? Where is the wealthiest place in this world? Say it again.
Saudi Arabia.
That's a good one. Anyone else want to take a guess? The wealthiest place in the world. The wealthiest place in the world, this answer might shock you, is the graveyard. For purposes of this message, it's the graveyard. You might be wondering today, Jonathan, what do you mean the graveyard? The wealthiest place in this world. What do you mean by that? I mean a lot by that. Why is the graveyard the wealthiest place in this world?
Because they have no more troubles.
Because there is a wealth of untapped potential in the graveyard. There are people in the graveyard that died that never fulfilled the ministry that God had for them. People that are in the graveyard that should have written books that never wrote those books to minister to others. People in the graveyard that should have started Christian universities in other countries, that should have started churches in other cities. People in the graveyard that should have been Christian doctors and nurses and never did it. There is a wealth of untapped potential in the graveyard. People that should have started corporations, businesses to advance the kingdom of God that never did it. And friend, I don't want to be another graveyard statistic. How about you? No, right? Friend, I'm here to tell you today that you have got a wealth of untapped potential on the inside of you. Start asking God what it is that He wants you to do with your life. You're not just meant to sit here at the day center during the day or at one of the shelters. You are meant to do something very important every single day of your life, even if it's just bringing a cup of coffee to someone here in downtown Tulsa once a day and showing them the love of God. There is a wealth of untapped potential on the inside of you. Let me say it again. How many here want to be another graveyard statistic? No. None of us, right? Amen? Amen? Could it be that those who died and went to the graveyard never tapped their potential because maybe they never felt good about themselves? Yeah. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Maybe they did not esteem themselves. Maybe they did not value themselves. They had set points in their minds. This is all I'm destined for in life. I can't go beyond this. You know, I've been to India many times, ministering over the years, country of India, South India a lot, and some in North India. And a lot of the people that we minister to in Southeast India are of a lower, they call them castes. Castes, C-A-S-T-E, and or we would think of it as a class, lower caste. And you'll see some of them on the streets in India, just sitting there and cutting rubber tires all day, making little rubber products. And they've got set points in their minds. I was born into this low caste, and I'm destined to be in this low spot my entire life. See, the way those people are thinking about themselves are the way they are acting toward themselves. The way you think about yourself will be the way you act toward yourself in life. Start seeing yourself as God sees you. Say it with me today. God sees me as a diamond. I am the apple of God's eye. And I will see myself that way. I have a special part to play in this world and in the kingdom of God. Friend, you've got to change the mindset. You've got to change the mentality. You're not so low. Don't have a pity party. Start seeing yourself like God sees you. He sees you like an eagle. You know, He doesn't want us to be just chickens jumping around in the pen, flying 2 feet, right? And some people stay right there. They just fly 2 feet up in the air in their chicken pen, day in and day out, day in and day out. He wants us to be eagles. He wants us to soar high with Him. You agree with that today? Start speaking those words over your life. When you get up in the morning and you look at yourself in the mirror, say to yourself, I am the apple of God's eye. I am so valuable to God. I have got an important part to play in this world and in the body of Christ. Speak it over yourself. Because what you speak over yourself, eventually, you'll start believing. And start reading the Word of God that contains so many promises, good promises, for you and for me. And start praying those promises over your life. Remember, the books that you read influence the way that you think, right? The newspapers, magazines, other books, you read them, you meditate on them, they will influence the way you think. Why not read and concentrate on the greatest book in the world, the Holy Bible of God? Let this influence the way you think. You agree? All right, well, just remember it. Speak it over yourself every day. I am going to see myself like God sees me. I am moving from the pit to the palace like Joseph with God's grace, with God's strength. By getting into the Word. Amen?
Amen?
You don't have to stay in this spot, friend. You can go higher and higher with God.